This is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, part of the VSporto Network, bringing you all Noles all the time.
In Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to the basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting rolled, banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something, I can really do this.
Welcome back, boys and girls, to the Unconquered Podcast here on Seminole Sports Radio. I'm Jason Staples, and it is Florida State Week. It's rivalry week, everybody. Unfortunately, with lots of things that are going on right now, we've got to first talk about the possibility of Jimbo Fisher leaving Florida State. So we'll take a look at that in the first segment. Second segment, we're going to examine a question that the folks over at VSporto asked me to take a look at, and that question is: has Florida overtaken Florida State as the top in-state football program, of course, in the state of Florida? So we're going to go ahead and take a look at segment one now. Lots of people texting me over the weekend, people with supposed connections to LSU, people with connections to FSU boosters. A lot of people really concerned about the possibility that Jimbo Fisher might jump ship, might go to LSU, after LSU fires one Lester Miles, after Miles has been basically on the hot seat ever since he took over for Nick Saban at LSU. And to be honest, there's good reasons for that. I mean, it's one of those things, you look at it and you say, geez, you know, Les Miles has had such an incredible run at LSU. Why in the world would he be on the hot seat? I mean, the guy's 110-32 as a head coach, which is pretty good. Most of that at LSU, and he's won a national championship. He won a national championship back in 2007. But the reality is, if you look at things from the LSU administration or fan perspective, and you look at when that national title was won in 2007. That was his third year after taking over for Nick Saban. They went 11-2, and then won at 12-2. The only team in the BCS era, certainly, to win with to win a national championship with two losses. They backed their way in there, and they've not really been the same since then. I mean, you look at that was 3 years after taking over for Nick Saban. And that was a year after Jimbo Fisher left for Florida State as the head coach. So they were still operating with Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher talent on that roster, and with a Jimbo Fisher trained quarterback, which really, that was the last time that Louisiana State had quality quarterback play, which is really hard to believe. I mean, you're talking about a program that gets so many top recruits and is so good in terms of their talent level. And at the end of the day, they can't seem to get quarterbacks developed. They've gone through several offensive coordinators, and you know, they're able to run the football, they're able to play power football and do lots of things, but they cannot seem to get good quarterback play. And they've got wide receivers like Malachi Dupree, who may have been the best receiver in the country coming out of high school when he came out, and they can't seem to put together a quality offense, aside from being able to run the football, particularly against teams that don't have the talent level that they have. So that's where, you know, if you're looking at the trend line for LSU, and you're looking at where LSU is as a program and the direction that LSU has taken under Les Miles, let's just think about this. Takes over for Nick Saban in 2005. That's after Saban won a national championship, 2004. 11-2, then 11-2, then 12-2 national champs. That's the year after Fisher left. 2008, 8-5. 2009, 9-4. At this point, 2008, remember, is the year that's Saban's second year at Alabama, and that's the year that Saban gets Alabama rolling. So that Saban, of course, that Alabama team that year went undefeated up until the SEC championship game, and lost to Florida in that SEC title game. And that 2008 season in which LSU went 8-5, finished 3-5 in the SEC West, the year that Saban turned that Alabama team around and challenged the national championship Florida team in the SEC championship. That was the year when LSU fans and administration started wondering, do we really have the right guy? Because, I mean, again, you're looking at what Saban did at Alabama, and by year two, he's got Alabama passing LSU in terms of the pecking order. And you start to wonder, was that national championship, is Les Miles basically still coasting on the dynastic program that Nick Saban built? Or is Les Miles really a quality coach who is sustaining long-term success? So, you know, they gave him a little more time to bring things back to Alabama's level to try to match basically what Saban was doing at Alabama. But they went 9-4 in 2009. They went 11-2 in 2010. And again, that's second to Alabama in the West. Alabama won the national title in 2009 when LSU went 9-4. That's further salt in the wounds. Then 2010, 11-2. As I said, and Alabama again was first in the West. LSU finishes second in the West. Then in 2011, it looked like they finally had caught up. They broke through. They went 13-0 in the regular season, including a win at Bama, and then got smoked in the BCS National Championship game by Alabama. So yet again, even though they won the SEC, they didn't win a national title, and they were beaten by their rival in the SEC West in the national championship game. I still think Alabama shouldn't have been there, but anyway. And since then, we've seen 10-3, 10-3, 8-5, 7-3 as things stand right now. So if you're an LSU administrator or fan, you've got to take an honest look at whether or not this program, which has resources on par with anybody and has access to talent on par with just about anybody. I mean, they own the state of Louisiana. They can dip into Texas. They can dip into the Deep South. They can dip into Florida. Very few programs have that kind of access to talent. And you wonder, maybe Les Miles really was just riding on Nick Saban's machine. Maybe he's just not quite the quality of coach that can get us to compete with what we need to be able to do in the SEC West. So I actually do think that it's a reasonable question. If you're LSU, it's something reasonable to think about, especially now that John Chavis is no longer there, and given the direction that things have taken this year, with what by all accounts is a generational sophomore class. I mean, that's as good a sophomore class as LSU's ever had. That's a class that should be competitive for a national championship, and they've got three in-conference losses, including a loss to Alabama that wasn't close. So it's a reasonable question at this point to ask whether or not they've got the right guy in place. And I think the answer to that, if I'm looking at it, if I'm the administration and I want to be able to compete with the Alabamas and so on, I think the answer to that is no. I don't think Les Miles can get you there. I don't think that the quarterback position and some of the other things that they've got got in place there are of the quality historically to be able to give me any indication that the direction is going where they need to go. So if the goal is winning SEC titles and national titles, then yeah, they probably do need to make a change, and I think they will. I mean, that much of the rumors, I think the things that we're hearing coming out of LSU, I think that much is true. I think they are going to make a change. I think Les Miles will be canned at the end of this year. And I think the reason for that is they could stand losing to Alabama, say, 2 out of 3 years, as long as that third year they're competitive for the number one spot for an SEC title or a national title. And as long as when they lose to Alabama, that they're finishing consistently second or third in the SEC West. I think they could probably handle that. I mean, we've seen that they handled that with Les Miles over the years. But what they can't handle, what they cannot tolerate, is losing to Arkansas, losing ground to Arkansas, and losing to Ole Miss. And it, you can't you can't start backtracking. You can't start losing ground in the SEC West, which is a cutthroat division. But you can't afford to lose to teams that have been behind you year in, year out, and lose more than, you know, this is not a one-year phenomenon. You know, they just lost to Arkansas, and they just lost to Ole Miss. But last season, they lost to Mississippi State, and they lost to Arkansas yet again. So that's 2 years in a row where they've been beaten by Arkansas. Last year, they got shut out by Arkansas. This year, it again wasn't that close. They lost to Arkansas, 31-14 this year, 17-0 last year. And, you know, if you're Les Miles and you're going to play power football, they're a bully team. They're a team that's going to try to run it down your throat. They're going to be big. They're going to be physical, and they're going to try to play smash mouth and just be the tougher team than you. You can afford to maybe get beat by Alabama in those cases, but you can't let other teams come in and bully you like Arkansas has the last 2 years. When it comes to being the big bad bully, kind of physical smash mouth team in the SEC West, if you're going to do that, you may lose to Alabama, but you can't afford to let Arkansas become the number two bully like that and start to lose to them. And that, I think, is what's ultimately going to have cost Les Miles his job here. And I think, you know, this LSU job is without a doubt one of the best jobs in the United States. I don't think there's any question that it's one of the best jobs in the country. I think that the LSU job is a better job than the Alabama job, believe it or not. I think Jimbo Fisher may well think that the LSU job is a better job than the Alabama job. One of the reasons for that has to do with expectations. We'll talk about that in a moment. But probably the biggest reason for that is Alabama has another major program in Auburn in the state of Alabama. So when you think about who you're competing against, which to me is a big part of what makes a job a top job or not, if you're thinking about who you're competing against in the pecking order around you, LSU doesn't have an in-state program that they have to fight with. LSU, by its very nature and location, and listen, geography is everything in college football. Geography is everything, and LSU has great geography on their side. At the end of the day, LSU can own the state of Louisiana in recruiting. A lot of those kids grow up thinking it's their birthright to play at LSU. They can get 15 or so of the top 20 players in the state of Louisiana, and it's one of the most talented states, one of the five or six most talented states in the country. And they're the only major program in that state. Alabama does not have as many talented prospects as Louisiana year in, year out. And Alabama and Auburn have to split those. Even if Alabama gets 70%, Auburn gets 30. And then, you know, a couple other teams may come in and poach one or two. But LSU is getting almost all of them. And then they can go to where they can also go to Texas. Louisiana typically has had, they're adjacent to Texas. They can go right over to Houston. They can compete. You know, they've got a rivalry with Texas A&M. They can compete for those recruits in Texas as well, naturally. And historically, LSU's done pretty well in the state of Florida, mostly because of Corey Raymond. And I'm guessing that whoever gets hired would probably retain him on staff just for his recruiting and his connections to LSU kids as well, to the Louisiana kids. So to me, that's an advantage. And the other thing is, I think the fans tend to be longer suffering. They're more willing to tolerate with a little bit lower level of success than the Alabama fans, who are going to expect Bear Bryant, Nick Saban level production, regardless of who's there. And that's pretty close to unsustainable anywhere. Bama's done it, but they've got the best coach of his generation there at this point. So, I mean, if you're thinking about this, LSU, in a lot of respects, is the better job. Right now, the only reason LSU is not the better job, in my opinion, is because Nick Saban's at Alabama. And as long as Saban's at Alabama, you're probably going to be number two in that division. But how many years more is Nick Saban going to be at Alabama? If you're thinking about this, if you're thinking about this as a Tom Herman or someone like that, you look at it and you go, I could be the Bama on that side of the program as soon as Saban steps out. I might be able to become the top dog on that side. So that's what the LSU job has to offer. Now the thing is, when you're coming down to the Jimbo Fisher thing, I'm not sure why Jimbo Fisher would consider this job at this point. He's now been in Tallahassee longer than he ever was in Baton Rouge, and it's a nice place to live. Baton Rouge is nice, and by all reports, the Fishers loved it there. But he's been in Tallahassee now, and he's fought the wars now in Tallahassee to get the administration to where basically he's got a great relationship with the administration. President John Thrasher is a Jimbo guy. Stan Wilcox and the Wilcox folks in Wilcox's people in the athletic department, Jimbo has their support at this point, and it really doesn't matter whether he does or not at the end of the day because Thrasher is in Jimbo's corner. So he's going to get what he wants from the FSU administration. Is that going to be true to the same degree at LSU? Why take the chance that it's not? Additionally, a lot of people think at this point, you know, there's that impression among Florida State fans that, oh, you know, LSU could offer Florida State or could offer Fisher so much more money. Fisher's already making more than Les Miles was by about $750,000. Florida State's paying market for their coaches at this point, everybody. This is not a low paid staff. Yes, LSU's assistants are making a little bit more, just about $1 million more overall than Florida State's assistants. But that's just because Florida State hasn't had to pay their assistants that much at this point. And yeah, Fisher could probably at this point negotiate more money for his assistants if he needs to. He hasn't needed to so far. That's probably coming. Florida State will pony up that money at this point. There's just not much reason for Fisher to go there. The other thing is, if you're Jimbo Fisher, do you really want to take a chance to go to LSU and then have to build that up? And yes, they've got a tremendously talented roster coming back in 2016. That great sophomore class is back. But now you're going to have to put your stamp on that program. You're going to have to do some things and do that in the same division as Nick Saban? Why? Why do that? Why put yourself through the meat grinder of the toughest division in college football when you, if you're Jimbo Fisher, this would be incredibly bad timing to leave because he's just spent a year rebuilding. He loves the team. I can't tell you how much. I mean, this is something I talked to him about just a few weeks ago, just in passing, but he loves what they have coming back in 2016. He knows that offense that's coming back that returns all but Everett Golson on the two deep. That offense is going to be really, really, really good. They got players everywhere. And then they're going to have two very, very good freshman quarterbacks battling for the opportunity to start and get handed the keys to a Ferrari. And very nearly the entire defense returns. So that team is loaded and loaded in the ACC where they should be able to win that conference, even though they do play Clemson and North Carolina next year. Still, would you rather have that or the SEC West schedule that LSU has plus Florida? LSU still plays Florida. At the end of the day, Fisher knows that, listen, he can compete for SEC West titles at LSU or he can compete for national titles year in, year out at Florida State with more margin for error because the difference is when you're playing the lower tier teams in the SEC at LSU, you've got more of a chance to get knocked off by an Ole Miss or by a Mississippi State than Florida State does by a Wake Forest or a Syracuse. That's really the big difference between those two conferences. I mean, toward the top, Clemson's as good as anybody that is on Alabama or LSU schedule, obviously. Louisville's a quality team. You know, there are quality teams on the schedule at Florida State. But the teams at the very bottom of both conferences, outside of the quarterback play in the SEC, are a little bit better. And so you've got a little bit less margin for error in those games than you do when you're at Florida State. And he's at this point recruiting at a level that is at least competitive, if not more. I think he's had a better overall run recruiting-wise at Florida State than what they've had at LSU. And that's still going to continue to get better because they're going to be past a lot of the bad press that they got with the Jameis Winston and then the DeAndre Johnson stuff over the summer, which really did hurt their recruiting stuff. That really hurt the image. But that some of the momentum is coming back now, and they're going to be able to get back, I think, ahead of that, particularly for that next class. That 2017 class looks like it could be very, very good. So there's just not much reason for Fisher to take that job. If I'm a Florida State fan out there who's worried about this, all I got to say to you is just stop worrying about it. Fisher's not going anywhere. You'll probably see him get a raise in the offseason. Probably see some assistants get a raise. You probably see a couple changes on the coaching staff at the end of the day, as there's going to be quite a bit of movement around the country in terms of staffs with all the head coaching positions that have opened. For our second segment, I want to go ahead and consider the question that the vSporto folks wanted me to take a look at this week. And that is, has Florida overtaken Florida State as the top in-state football program? No, seriously, just give me a minute. Okay, let me go ahead and wipe these tears away from my eyes. Yeah, I'm going to have to go with no to that question. And quite frankly, at this point, it's still not close, folks. It's just not close. I mean, the only reason that you would imagine that at this point is that Florida is 10-1. Whereas Florida State, 9-2. So you got a one game difference between them, and Florida's about to head to the SEC championship game. And as a result of having only one loss, yes, there is still an outside chance that Florida could make the college football playoff. Whereas Florida State is all but eliminated at this point with two losses in the ACC, not going to be the ACC champion, etc. But seriously, Let's take a look at this. Florida is 10-1. Yes. But let's look at those 10. Let's look at those 10 wins on the year, and let's compare those to what we've seen from Florida State of late. So they blasted New Mexico State in game one. Beat East Carolina by 7 points. Narrowly escaped at Kentucky. That's a bad Kentucky team. Won by a point over Tennessee, really in a gift game that they won on a fourth down play in the fourth quarter. They blasted Mississippi, same Mississippi team that also got beat pretty handily by a pretty good but not great Memphis squad. So that's a quality win against Mississippi, but again, that's a Mississippi team that's been up and down all year, not really a stellar team. Beat a toothless Missouri team. That Missouri team is basically Boston College. Lost at LSU. And we've seen that LSU is not exactly what people thought they were. Beat a Georgia team that just inexplicably bad on offense after they lost their tailback, after they lost Nick Chubb. Scraped by Vanderbilt 9-7. Scraped by a South Carolina team that just lost to the Citadel and then beat Florida Atlantic in overtime. Yeah, that's a team that has definitely taken the reins over a team that has just won a national championship, made the college football playoff, and is still 9-2 in a rebuilding season. Yeah, I don't think so. The better comparison is actually the 2015 Florida team with the 2012 Florida team in the second year of Will Muschamp. Those teams are actually really comparable, and to be quite honest, the Muschamp year was a more impressive season. Let's compare the wins and losses. The best win of this 2015 Florida season is that Mississippi game at home against number 19 Mississippi. That Will Muschamp season in 2012, they beat number 5 Texas A&M 20-17. They beat number 14 LSU 14-6. They beat number 23 Vanderbilt on the road 31-17, and they blasted number 8 South Carolina 44-11. That was pretty, and then they beat Florida State. We don't know what the result of that's going to be in 2015, but Florida beat Florida State 37-26 in the last game that Florida State has lost on their home field. That was a very good season by that second year Will Muschamp squad. And that year actually resembled this year by a lot in terms of the kinds of games and the kinds of results that we saw. Actually, like I said, they won more games by more impressive margins for the most part that season than they did this year. I mean, that win over number 8 South Carolina 44-11 was more impressive than the win over Mississippi this year. But if you start comparing the statistics of the two teams, 2015 Florida is averaging 27.4 points per game. Run heavy attack, 27.4 points per game. That is just under a point better than the Will Muschamp-led 2012 Florida team at 26.5 points per game. 27.4 to 26.5. 2015 Florida, giving up 14.5 points per game to opponents. 2012, 14.5 points per game to opponents. Pretty close. So the average score of in 2015, 27.4 to 14.5. Average in 2012, 26.5 to 14.5. And the reason, by the way, that this year's team is averaging more points is they put 61 on New Mexico State in the first game, whereas 2012, they only scored 27 against Bowling Green in the first game, a better opponent. Other than that, actually, the points would be pretty close to dead even across the board, interestingly. Let's go back down the list. In 2015, rushing yards per attempt, Florida, 3.59. Rushing yards per attempt, 2012, 4.53. Wait, 2012 Florida was averaging a yard more per game, per carry than the 2015 team? Wow. They're actually better running the football in 2012. And they gave up 2.98 yards per rush in 2012. That's 3.18 in 2015. So far, the 2015 team is not as good on the ground, either on offense or defense, as that Will Muschamp-led team in 2012. Passer rating, 139.36 this year. It's a little bit better than the 130.44 put up by Jeff Driskel in 2012. And remember, they had Jeff Driskel, who was basically playing the Treon Harris role. Just don't lose the game, run around a little bit, and you'll be fine. But 2015 defense is giving up 102.23 passer rating, whereas the 2012 team was giving up an otherworldly 95.48 passer rating. So much better. All told, that about evens out. Total yards per play. This year, 5.36. 2012, 5.25. Pretty close. Both teams this year, 2015, 4.34 points or yards per play given up on average on defense, 4.35 on average given up on by Florida in 2012. So within 0.01 yards per play of being exactly the same from that year to this. This team is a carbon copy of Will Muschamp's second team. I mean, it looks almost exactly the same. Only difference is they haven't done it against as good a competition as what Will Muschamp had to face in that second year. So if you're going to try to convince me that what we've seen from the 2015 Florida team indicates that Florida has overtaken Florida State as the top in-state football program, I'm going to laugh you out of the building. It's not even close. This looks exactly like a Will Muschamp team. The difference is that just like that Will Muschamp team, going back in 2012, the difference is this team is way on the plus side in terms of turnover margin. Through 11 games, the 2015 Florida team is plus 10 in turnover margin. The 2012 team was plus 15 through 13 games in turnover margin, both a margin right around 1. This year, 0.91, then 1.15, right around 1. I mean, that's within a margin of error. Then what happened in 2013, they had a minus 2 margin. Those games that they were winning on the margin, they lost. 2014, a plus 6, and now this year, a plus 10 through 11 games. What's happened is that this team has been living on the margins, beating bad teams like Kentucky and Missouri and that Georgia team that was a bad team at that point, by that point in the season, Vanderbilt and South Carolina, and winning those games on the margins, just narrowly winning those games. And let's be honest, unlike Florida State, Florida is not primed to be all that much better in 2016 than they have been in 2015. In fact, if you're looking at the turnover margin and some of the other things and how close they've played to the margins, I'm betting that 2016 Florida takes a nice step backwards. They're not going to go 10-2, 11-1, or whatever it is in 2016. They'll take a little bit of a step back, and that's natural. I actually think that Jim McElwain is a better coach than Will Muschamp. I think he's putting the program in better position for longer term success than Will Muschamp, but I don't think they're in position to be a playoff contender next year. So listen, the Florida defense is one of the best defenses in the country this year. They've got some outstanding playmakers on this team. They've got some guys who are going to be high draft picks on this defense. And that defense, just like in 2012, combined with a soft schedule, which is softer than they had in 2012, is the biggest reason they've had a good year. And they lose 4 of their 5, I'd say, or at worst, 4 of their 6 best players on that defense. And they don't have anything close to equal replacements on the roster for those guys. Vernon Hargreaves is gone. Vernon Hargreaves is gone to the pros next year. Brian Poole, their nickel corner, who's maybe the best nickel corner coverage guy in the country, he's gone. They'll still have Jalen Tabor on the roster, but they don't have 3 corners like that on the roster for next year. And that's immediately going to be a big step down. They just don't have that kind of personnel at the cornerback position to replace those guys. And right now, they have maybe the best trio of cornerbacks in the country. Florida State probably has the best pair of outside corners in the country. Florida has probably the best 3 with Tabor, Hargreaves, and Poole. 2 of those guys are gone to the pros for next year. Then they lose their best defensive lineman by a lot in Jonathan Bullard. Defensive tackle Jonathan Bullard. He's the most disruptive player on that defense. So they're going to lose 2 cornerbacks who've been able to make them a dominant defense by the fact that they can single cover just about anybody. Across the board, they can single cover 3 guys. I mean, that in that respect, they're similar in the secondary. They're not as strong at the safety position, but they're similar in that respect, the ability to single cover 3 guys to what Florida State was able to do in 2013. It's harder to get matchups against them because they can single cover 3 guys. And because they can do that, that frees them to do more stuff up front. And you build defenses, in my view, the way that you build dominant defenses is you dominate inside at the defensive tackles, and you get great corners. If you have that, then you can do a ton of things. And then all you really need is a pass rusher. From there, you can do tons of stuff to make plays with all sorts of other material elsewhere. And they're losing, really, those 3 guys are the foundation. They're the backbone of that defense. And they're not going to be there next year. And then they also lose Antonio Morrison, linebacker, one of their top 2 linebackers. Then on offense, they're going to have Treyon Harris at quarterback for the first 6 games next year before Will Grier gets back. And they're not exactly loaded to the gills with playmakers all over the place on offense either. And I'm not sure it's going to matter with Treyon Harris at quarterback. He's not a guy who's, I mean, Here's the thing. Jeff Driskel was a more talented quarterback than Treyon Harris. And it's not like they've been scoring up a storm this season. They've been averaging basically the same that they did in that 2012 season. They've been winning close because their defense has been elite and because they've played teams that don't have any quarterbacks. What quarterbacks has this team played? You start thinking about it. This 2015 team, who have they played in terms of quarterbacks? The best quarterback that they've played so far is by far Swag Kelly. But aside from that, what competent quarterback, even a competent quarterback, have they played? Maybe the kid from Kentucky? Josh Dobbs can't complete a forward pass. They haven't played a passing quarterback so far. Now, Florida State's not exactly going to stick the best quarterback in the country out there either, but Sean McGuire might be the best quarterback that they'll have faced this year. He's right in the same discussion with Swag Kelly. I'd say maybe you give the nod to Swag Kelly, but, I mean, how much? So, I mean, this is a team. They're not going to get the same luck in terms of playing bad quarterback. I know they're in the SEC, and I know the SEC needs to pull ACC quarterbacks to have anybody competent. But I don't think they're going to have the same kind of luck with quarterbacks next year. So this is a team that this is a great step forward if you're Florida for the chance to get good recruiting mojo for that first year with Jim McElwain to try to get the program rolling a little bit. But let's be honest here. This team is not prepared to be in the position that Florida State is next year, where Florida State returns 21 of the 22 in the offensive two deep. And defensively, they lose, yes, their best player, Jalen Ramsey. They've got guys at corner, though, that have been highly rated and have performed in practice and are going to be guys that can step in and be at least good players at that position. Otherwise, they lose Lawrence Stample. And they've got guys as talented or more talented behind him who've played at that defensive tackle spot. And they've got tons of depth there. They lose Terrence Smith, who they played most of this year without anyway, and LaMarcus Brutus at safety. So this is a team that across the board, other than Ramsey, this defense should be better next year and significantly deeper than this year's defense was. And they return 21 of 22 offensive starters. So Florida's probably going to take a little bit of a step back on defense, a pretty decent step back on defense next year. Maybe a small step forward as they get a little bit better up front on the offensive line next year, get a little bit more going in the backfield, a little bit more experience at quarterback next year, even if it is Treyon Harris. And, you know, the receivers are a year older. But it's maybe a small step forward on offense. They still don't have great playmakers out there. So Florida State is in position to maybe be the playoff maybe the playoff favorite for next year. Certainly one of the two teams most likely to make the playoff in the ACC. And probably one of the four or five national title favorites going into next year. And Florida is hoping that they can catch lightning in a bottle 2 years in a row. But it's unlikely that that happens. And if we look at the recruiting situation, Florida State and Florida are going to have... Florida State should still be... Ultimately, they should still have a better class this season than Florida. At the end of the day, Florida State's in position. They'll probably have a top four, top five class, if not higher than that. Florida probably winds up in the top six. So if Florida, and the other thing, finally, if we're going to talk about moving forward here, the talent on these two rosters right now, Florida is living on the recruits that it got after that 2012 season. On that, you know, on the wings of some of the idea that Will Muschamp had gotten that team to turn the corner. But right now, once those guys are gone, that roster is dependent on the transition year. This last year where they took a step back, they lost some recruits because of Muschamp being fired and McElwain taking over. And they've got the year before where because Florida was already tanking, was already headed down the toilet, players kind of felt like Muschamp probably wouldn't be there, so they went elsewhere. So that's 2 years basically of lost recruiting. Yeah, they did land some quality players. Ivy is a terrific player at tackle. You know, he's going to be he's a terrific prospect at tackle. C.C. Jefferson looks like he's an outstanding prospect moving forward. But they're not the same kind of talented depth that you normally get in a Florida class. And that's two of the foundational years that are going to be on the roster for next year. So they're going to take a step back before they take a step forward, while Florida State is going to be running on high-octane fuel next year. So this is just not even close. Not even close to a question at this point. It's shocking that anybody would think that Florida has surpassed Florida State in state at this point. 3 years from now, it's possible that that could happen. It's still unlikely because if you look at how Florida State's recruiting and what they've got coming back and how the classes are stacking and what talent looks to be lined up for the various years, Florida State's going to be on top in the state for years to come. What I see happening is in 2017, what I see happening is the Florida State rivalry becoming much more meaningful moving forward. I think we're going to see if Miami makes a good hire and Florida continues to move forward a little bit under McElwain, I think we might see a little bit of a return to the 90s with Ohio State and Michigan and Florida State, Florida and Miami being the games that really matter. Could be really interesting, a return back. I mean, college football is cyclical, and it could be. I wouldn't be surprised if by 2017, that's where the primary power base is in college football. Yes, you're going to still have some quality teams in the SEC, just like you did in the 90s. But I think the primary attention may need to be paid to the Florida State and Miami rivalries, and that Ohio State and Michigan rivalry. Could be pretty interesting moving forward. All right, that's going to do it for us here today on the Unconquered podcast. Now, before we get out of here, just a reminder that you can follow me on Twitter at Doc Staples. Also, a reminder to subscribe and rate us on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts. That really helps us. You can also follow Seminole Sports Radio at Seminoles Radio for the latest on FSU sports. Catch us on Seminole Sports Radio through vSporto. Of course, make sure to catch our next podcast, which will cover the Florida State game in more detail, including what I expect to happen in that game. I'm Jason Staples. This has been the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, a vSporto channel. Thanks for listening. I made this.